You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now is the time to secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets at the best prices available in the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. In 3 days, you're going to start to see who's going to be wearing some uniforms of these games that you're going to go watch at First Energy Stadium. And Nathan Zagura and I will be in New York beginning on Wednesday. We'll do our show, this show there, from Midtown Manhattan after we check out the players, about 30 or so draft picks who have been invited to the draft. They're going to be at an event, one of the many events, and Nathan and I are going to check that out on Wednesday morning and then bring you sound from that and do our show, give you our updated mock, our final mock draft before the draft. And then on Thursday, the two of us will be in Radio City Music Hall broadcasting from there, setting the table for draft day 2014. Dan Shanka, speaking of the draft, our lad scouting service, is going to join us at 2 p.m. We're going to hear from him, get his breakdown, talk about his mock draft, and what our lad's mock draft has in store. So we'll tease that a little bit. It'll be interesting, and make sure you're with us to hear that. In the meantime, 216-578-0850. We want your calls, and we know we're getting your calls and getting your draft thoughts from near and far. Let us go to Will in Pepper Pike. Hello, Will.
Yes, hi. I think the danger of drafting an offensive lineman first, even though that offensive lineman might be as good as Joe Thomas, might be as good as Jonathan Ogden, the relative importance of that position, if it were to be mathematically quantified, it's 1 out of 5. It's not as important as, obviously, the quarterback position, and that would prevent the team from acquiring a player that has the best possible chance mathematically of being a successful quarterback. Quarterbacks earlier in the draft have a better chance of being good than quarterbacks taken later. I would not want to eliminate that possibility. Plus, I think when teams rate players, they have to factor in the importance of the position. If there's a punter that's better than Ray Guy, does that mean he's a better player than a quarterback that's considered just slightly above average? I contend that if the Browns had just a good quarterback last year, say as good as Matthew Stafford, they would have won many more games.
For
sure. If
they had
Jake Matthews, I don't think they would have won significantly more games. Or if they had Sammy Watkins, who I don't think is as good as Josh Gordon, they might have won that game against the Patriots, which they should have won anyways. But I don't want them to be prevented from selecting a top-tier quarterback by foregoing that chance by selecting a player such as Matthews or Robinson or Khalil Mack. If Khalil Mack is as good as Lawrence Taylor, which he's not going to be, do you think that would make the Browns a whole lot better if they have the type of quarterbacks they have now? If they have Tanny and Big Ben and Young,
Hoyer,
coming off a really serious surgical operation.
Right. Lots of questions there, Will. Love your call. Thank you for that. I go along with what he said just in terms of what the need is to get the position right, and where they get it is less important, as we said, than getting it right. But the other point to make on this is, you know, you can't, to say that Jake Matthews, to say that Sammy Watkins, to say that these other players would be added and not helping your team get better, I'm not going to accept that as a blanket statement. I'm going to do it, though, with the understanding that you, at some point, you're going to get your quarterback. This is all about timing and how much time you have as a selector to get the right guy. That's the clock you're up against. It's those 15 minutes, yes, to make that pick in the first round. Yeah, that's the first clock you're going to deal with. But the bigger clock is the one that's on the calendar, the one that says how much time does Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have to get this team moving far enough in the right direction that Jimmy Haslam believes they should get a crack at making picks next year, because that's really what this is about. So, again, if you conclude, the value judgment you're going to make ultimately is if you don't think that quarterback is here this year or now, when and where are you getting him and how are you getting him, because that your futures are dependent upon that.
If you really could get Teddy Bridgewater 26, I'm fine with it. But I think the question is that realistic? Is now you're hearing, oh, people are saying, I'm not sure he's getting out of the first round, and I'm not sure that he's getting even down that far. The question becomes, and I think
that's
the college
being
point
said
is good
about
one.
A bunch of guys.
Right. The college point is a good one, though. What does a right, adding in a right tackle? By the way, Mitchell Schwartz is, it's not like Mitchell Schwartz is horrific. It's not like he is the reason that our offensive line struggled last year. Our offensive line struggled last year because the right guard position was dreadful. And by the way, when you got even a decent right guard next to Schwartz over the second half of the year, he played much better.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know what's ironic, though, is I think I was looking at Sean Laval, and you look at the background, and then you see where Washington, what Washington's doing even under Jay Gruden. He's actually more of, I think, a zone blocker than he was in the previous system. This system might have been okay for him. Just this is just one of those ironic.
He paid him
facts.
$17 million.
Yeah,
dollars.
I'm saying to you that he's probably a better zone blocker than what he was in this particular scheme, and that's a little irony. Hopefully, the Browns found an upgrade there. I don't know that they have in Paul McQuist until I see it. And then with regard to the rest of the line and your points, yes. I'm with you that Schwartz, I wouldn't call him a train wreck, but I think the line definitely is something that has to, somewhere along the line,
of course,
the line has to be addressed.
I just think you can get a good guard in this draft in the third or the fourth round, and you don't necessarily need to do it at number four. I don't know how much value overall that adds to your team, and that's really the question that's got to be weighed here. And that's why, again, when I come back to it, to me, the ideal scenario, and I'm not overvaluing draft picks, but the ideal scenario to me is to move back in the first round, stay in the top 10. That would be fine with me. Then you're still going to be able to get a quality player, whether it be an offensive lineman, which you'll still have an opportunity to get one, whether it be a quarterback, whether it be a wide receiver. You're still going to have the opportunity to do that in the top 10, plus pick up another second-round pick. It doesn't seem to me that there's somebody setting their hair on fire at number four. And even us, when we talk about it, who is there that has to be had at number four.
Right. I'm with you on that. So, but I just want to be clear. Your point is to get that additional pick, to make sure to make this move so you're going to get a chance to add yet another player.
Four in the first 40?
But my sense of it is I hope the priority is to have a conviction on somebody that you can take there. If what we've known about this draft is true, a player worthy of a first-round grade at four is there.
I know
the hair on fire and the position. I think what we're getting, what I don't want to confuse is position, spectacular, sexy position versus just a good football player. I want them to pick the best possible football player they can get, and I hope it's a quarterback. I believe they have to get a quarterback, and they've got a problem when they don't pick the quarterback because where they're going to get that guy, I don't know. So this is a puzzle. This is a riddle wrapped inside of
crazy. Wrapped inside of an enigma. But
yeah.
I think the point is, if you go with your theory of the best player available, I would. I don't know what their board is, but the consensus of all the people who do this around the country would be that would be either Robinson or Matthews. So if you really do go perhaps strictly off your grades, maybe Watkins is there as well, but it's probably going to end up being one of those two guys. And then it gets back to the point is, do you want that investment in that position? Do you need that much of an investment in the offensive line to have Mack, to have Thomas, and now to have this player? That's the real question.
I think the overarching opinion afterward would be you won four games last year. You need a lot.
You need
everything.
Lot.
So
sure.
What is it that you don't need? And you can't say you don't need a lineman. You can't say you can't making an effort to make your O-line better is a bad thing. I won't say that. It won't be scintillating. It won't be exciting to talk about, but it is true football.
The real question, though, is if you had that lineman last year with the same quarterback play, does it make any difference? Are the Browns any better than maybe getting to 6-10? Whereas if you had a good quarterback on last year's team, I think there's an opportunity to be 8-8 or 9-7 with that same team.
Well, then, and if you take that position and you're taking the transitional route in quarterback, saying, okay, Brian Hoyer's just going to have to get us through another year, then your efforts should be to support him as much as you can with what you put around him. So if you're theoretically making things better around him and you're trusting him to be your guy for at least another year, theoretically maybe he is able to help you get more. But I don't know how much. I'm not convinced until I see it. I'm not saying he can't do this, but I've got to see it to believe it, that he can take this team to a significantly higher
level. But you just made a good point, though. What they do at four will say a lot about how they feel about Brian Hoyer.
Yes. There's no question. If it's a lineman, it says just what we said.
Right. They think he can take him to the playoffs. All right, let's go real quickly. We got Jeff in Sarasota.
Jeffrey in Sarasota.
Yes, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Here's my opinion. My opinion is they're not drafting an offensive lineman. That's ridiculous. They're not drafting no Bortles, according to Vince. I don't know where that comes out of left field, okay?
I know, that's crazy. I mean, Blake Bortles, how could you even think of him? He's horrific, I know.
What don't you like about Blake? Hey, wait a minute, can I speak?
Why, well, certainly.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Because it's all this hype, you know, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, you know, all this media hype garbage. You know, you guys must have been on the Ryan Leaf bandwagon.
No, actually, I wasn't. Can I give you a history? Hey, no, I am going to talk now. Don't tell me I was on the Ryan Leaf bandwagon. That's a crock. Okay, I was covering. Huh? Wait, what?
I said you must have been on the Ryan Leaf.
Not even remotely close to it. And how that unfolded when he blew off the meeting with the Colts and such. I knew that, and ultimately, Peyton Manning actually proved in pre-draft workouts with the Colts that he had the stronger arm. And was actually looked more impressive. So no, in covering and leading up to that draft for NFL.com, I was not. But
okay,
go ahead.
Thank you for correcting me.
Thank you for saying something. What do you want to see happen at four?
Let's answer that.
This is my opinion. They're not going to draft Blake Bortles at number four. They're not drafting an offensive lineman. In my opinion, subject to debate, they're going to stay true to their board. And there's going to be an offensive person as a receiver or a defensive person. And later in the first round, they will go back, revisit the quarterback issue, because I think all those quarterbacks can be drafted later in the first round. In the second round, they're going to go for a defensive back. Okay? And my defensive back I think they should pick is Kyle Fuller from Virginia Tech.
Love Kyle Fuller. I think he'll be gone in the first round.
I don't think he's there at second.
You have a chance to get him maybe at 26. All right. One last call. We'll take a break. John in Dallas. What's up, John?
Boy, us Browns fans should be a little more happier than that guy. the 99 curse is still with us. We're not drafting a quarterback high enough. Brady Quinn, in my opinion, doesn't count as a number one pick, being it was so low and he dropped. But we have to get a quarterback. And I am afraid with the Jerry Joneses of the NFL wanting to move up to either Houston.
You're in Dallas. What are you hearing about that?
I mean, that's what I'm hearing. See, Jerry's a lot like that owner in that movie that just came out, the Browns movie.
Yeah.
He wants to splash. He wants to be the cash cow. And Manziel is definitely the cash cow of this draft. I mean, if you just take him and sit him for a year, you're going to clean up in every shape or form. Maybe not on the football field, but there's owners that really don't care about football. They care about money. And I'm afraid one of these owners may jump up to Jacksonville, Houston, or even the Jaguars, I'm sorry, or the Rams.
What if they wanted to jump up to us? Would you be willing to move back that far?
No. No, I'm 48, yep. Browns fan. I'm sick of moving back. Take the guy you think is the best guy available. And we are so, man, we're screaming for a quarterback. Now if he's not there, I hate to chance it and drop down and get Bridgewater, but I would be happy with that. I would be happy with a Watkins and Bridgewater.
I'd be thrilled. That's Moonwalk City.
Yeah, real quick. Man, this two-week stuff's killing us. Next year, we're going to be drafted 20 or lower.
Hopefully.
I hope so. In this year's draft, I want to ask you guys, and I'll hang up, if we could swap picks with the Rams, and we got to give up both our number ones to the Rams. The Rams give us their pick and their quarterback. Would you take it?
Sam Bradford, you're saying, so we would trade 4 and 26 for 2 and Sam Bradford?
I'm not doing that.
I don't think I'm doing that either.
He's not. He wouldn't be. I didn't like Sam Bradford coming out of college. Just to go back to the caller who assumed what I liked or didn't like. For the record, it was down on Sam Bradford. I didn't think he was the right guy to go top overall, especially. And I had concerns about durability, and I had concerns about his just ability to live up to the task of being the $50 million man that he was when he got out there. And I think so far he's proving that to be true.
Yes, indeed. All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Dan Shanka from Our Lads NFL Scouting Services will be with us talking about his latest mock draft, which does have the Cleveland Browns getting a quarterback in round one. Some interesting picks there. We'll get his take on the quarterbacks, the Browns, what he thinks should happen, etc. That's all coming up right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yeah, baby, by the way.